more trades, more mock draft, and more talking about the 2024 NFL draft. Denny from Mock Draft Database joins us to talk about some mock draft trends, all that and more, coming up next on the Draft Countdown Podcast. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Draft Countdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Brian Bosars, joined as always by my co-host, Shane P. Hallam. Shane, 28 days, 22 hours, 58 minutes, 25 seconds away from the 2024 NFL Draft.
And we are fastly approaching the draft, so definitely exciting. We're wrapping up pro days here in the next week, so we'll be done with those. I think maybe our next show is the last pro day is April 3rd. So we're going to be done, and it's all about getting the boards together and, you know, putting your ear to the ground and seeing where the smoke and the fire is.
Yep. That is the last team pro day. We'll have some very important individual pro days that take place after that. Johnny Newton, Illinois, is going to have one. Cooper DeJean from Iowa will have a personal pro day, as well as Amarius Mims and Brock Bowers, I presume, will be simultaneous. As they're both on the same day. So some very important some dates out there. But, yes, we're 1 week away from wrapping up those pro days. As always, if you're following along on X there and you have a question, drop us a question there. We'll answer it at the end of the show. If you are watching along live on YouTube and you have a question, shoot us a question in the chat. We'll answer it then. And if you want to join our Discord, go to draftcountdown.com, top right corner of the search bar. There's a link to join the Discord. Ask a question there, and we will answer it at the end of the show. Big show tonight. Denny, Mock Draft Database, going to come on. We love talking about mock drafts, right, Shane? So we're going to bring him in to talk about it. But the NFL has made some pretty significant rule changes this week at the owners' meeting or whatever happened over the past week. And one, I'm assuming that probably the one that has you the most intrigued is we're switching over to the XFL style kickoff. And you tweeted your excitement that for the 2025 draft, we're going to have to bring back return specialist rankings.
I watched some of the XFL kickoffs. You know, there's some of the, and I've watched the XFL run it, but now to like read exactly what's happening, I'm like, the returner is going to be back in vogue. You're going to have a return specialist on your team, not only for punts, which some teams do, but now that the kickoff becomes, I think, crucial. I mean, you watch some of these XFL kickoff returns, the really good returners, I mean, you can almost get to midfield sometimes with how this blocking set up. So I almost feel like it's become lost. You know, Scott used to do it. I always thought even when Scott did it back in the day, like this, it's not really worth it to have a separate returner tab. But I don't know. I don't know what you think, but I think we got to bring it back and list out some of the best returners in college football. At least, you know, they can be in the running back, receiver, corner rankings too, but here's the return specialists. Cause I think those guys are going to start getting drafted on day three. Cause you want to have someone that can, you know, excel at that one position.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a factor. I mean, I know it's somewhat, especially on those late round draftable receivers and DBs right now, that's just kind of bonus points. It kind of a separator for those guys as far as this, but yeah, now you're going to have guys making a serious living. Your team, the Steelers, they're like, Hell, bring back kick returners. Give us the best in the game right now. Cordell Patterson, a 2-year deal to come on board there. He'll also, you know, give you some help on offense as well. A little whatever juice he might have left on offense, but he's definitely going to give you that juice on the kick return game. So
the back Steelers, with Arthur Smith, you know.
Yep. So the Steelers trying to get out in front of that a little bit. It's going to be interesting. And I read earlier today where there's people in college football, coaches and stuff, that fully expect that after this year, once they see it in the NFL, it's coming to college too. So we'll actually probably starting for the 2026 draft cycle, see it in play, how it's going to maneuver in college football.
I think it's great. You know, I know some of the traditionalists are like, oh, whatever, but I don't know. What was it? 15%, 20% kickoffs were actually returned. It was abysmal at injuries. And now this solves a lot of those issues while keeping it. So you actually have to watch the, like, I don't watch the kickoffs when I watch pro football anymore.
I generally go to the bathroom because I know I'm going to get a commercial break. I'm going to get a kickoff and then they're going back to commercial. So I know I got time.
Right. Now you got to watch it. Now you got to watch.
Now you got to watch. I wish they would have added in the XFL onside kick too, but
someday baby steps. We'll get it.
Baby steps,
we'll get it.
Man.
We'll get it. We'll get there. I say in the next 5 years, we'll get it.
Maybe the most controversial thing that was added this weekend, I see if you agree. I think Joe Goodberry kind of said it best. I was following him the other day. This happens maybe once a game. Maybe the hip drop tackle's been banned. Do you think this is going to be a big a deal as a lot of the quote unquote purists are leading on here?
No. I was critical with some of the helmet to helmet stuff. And when, you know, when they really changed that, like I was one of the, they're taking this out of the game. And that happened a lot more. We adjusted. I don't think it's been a bad thing. The hip drop tackle stuff, like you said, is pretty rare. So maybe once a game, there are a couple players who your boy Logan Wilson, who like to trot it out a lot, you know, those players are going to adjust. I don't think it's a super difficult adjustment to make to not, you know, pick your legs up and drop your weight, right? I mean, you can pull a guy down. So I don't think it's going to be a big deal. And like a lot of the language that came out of this said, it might not even throw a penalty on it on the field. It's going to be more, now we can fine it a lot. You know, you're going to get hit in the checkbook maybe more, even more than having a 15-yard penalty, because it's a tough thing to even tell maybe at the time. I think defensive players are going to adjust. It's going to happen a handful of times in the year. They'll get slapped with the 6-figure fine, and I don't think we're going to even notice a difference or anything changed. You know, ultimately, if it keeps more players, offensive players healthy, I'm for it. I understand the defensive players being a little up in arms. You're not, you know, banning cut blocks and things like that. I wouldn't mind taking those out too. I think keeping players healthy, especially as a fantasy football player, I'm happy to keep more players on the field.
You know, it's funny you bring up the Logan Wilson, but the tackle that everybody said should be outlawed, the one against Mark Andrews, that wouldn't be a penalty. Per the NFL, they said that was would have been legal per the rule they just adjusted.
We'll see how well they can figure out.
I think what's the concerning thing is it's another thing, another judgment call for these referees out here who are just not really good at this and shouldn't get the benefit of the doubt for judgment calls because they've proven time and time again they're pretty bad at it.
Yeah, and I think it was – I forget what team it was, maybe the Eagles that rescinded their proposal to allow penalties, all penalties to be subject to review, which I think – I know it slowed things down, but I think it should happen because there have been some abysmal penalty calls by the refs.
There are some now that are now eligible, but based on the rule, because one of the rules was we'll be able to use replay assist to judge intentional grounding.
So not review. That'll come from upstairs, right?
Yeah. So basically, if the sky judge or whatever, or New York or whoever's in charge of this thing, if it's egregious, they can stop play, look at it, and see.
Make that quick.
So, yeah. Another thing that they can use replay for egregious is if the play clock seemingly expires and allow a snap. If it seems to be egregious, they can stop play and review that as well. We'll see. I tell you, these preseason games is going to be rough, right? This is where the testing ground's going to be. I'll quickly go through these others that I think are important for us. Trade deadline gets pushed back a week. Now, it's at after week 9. You know, another week to see if you suck or not.
And keep pushing it back, baby.
Yep. Yep. This was interesting that you can now designate 2 players for IR return before cuts. Previously, you had to basically do some roster chicanery there to fit these guys in. Now, if you know these guys are going to be back 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, you can put them on IR to return, and it's not subject to the cuts. I think that's a good thing. What was the other here? We're basically only going to have 2 quarterbacks on every NFL roster now. This new rule said that you can elevate a practice squad quarterback as your emergency third quarterback every week instead of just X amount of times. So, yeah, every team's just rostering 2 QBs now, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you'll have the third guy who's going to go down and come up. And, you know, the Steelers sent Kyle Allen. He's going to be the practice squad guy. gets bumped up.
Yep. Finally, 2 games on Christmas again because the ratings were so good. Only problem is Christmas is on a Wednesday this year. But the NFL did say if you're going to play the Christmas Wednesday game, you'll be playing on the Saturday before. But guess what? Screw you, college football. First week of your expanded college football playoff. Here's some NFL games on that Saturday.
I hate this. Like, I think the Christmas thing, I hated it last year. The Christmas thing now to have like 5 straight days of NFL football is, as a, once again, fantasy football wise, a nightmare. Set lineups and figure out injuries that late in the season's the championships fantasy football that week. So you got to abandon your family on Christmas. Sorry. Cause you got to set your lineups and see who the inactives are on Christmas Day. It's on a Wednesday. You're competing directly with the NBA.
Competing with the NBA.
You are competing with the NBA. I mean, the Christmas,
nobody's watching the NBA with an NFL game on.
Yes, they are.
The NBA is, it does not. They don't matter.
Yeah, I think Lakers fan. There's enough Lakers fans that are going to watch the Lakers every year on Christmas, and they do.
Put the Cowboys on Christmas and see what happens.
Right, which they will. That's the one thing is they're gonna handpick they're gonna be relevant
games. Packers, Steelers, Cowboys.
But here's the thing: that late in the season, it's not about the teams, right? It's about games that matter for the playoffs because you're only 2 weeks out. So it's gonna be games for the division. You know, and if you can toss in the Packers, the Cowboys, the Steelers, then you're going to do it.
All right. Last thing before we bring Denny on. It's Tradapalooza 33 1/3, the final insult this week. Did you get the reference?
I got that one. I love making guns. So.
Okay. All right. So only one trade to talk about this week, and it's kind of one we speculated about last week. But Kansas City trades cornerback Legarius Sneed to the Tennessee Titans. In exchange for a 2025 third round pick, and they're going to swap 7th round picks this year, and then Sneed signs an extension with the Titans.
So it seems like the Colts weren't willing to pay Sneed enough. It seems like that was the holdup, like that they were close, and division rival comes and snatches them up. I thought it was a little bit light of for what the Chiefs are getting back. But what it tells me is, contracts are in the trade conversation. Like, if you want to trade for T. Higgins, you want to trade for Brandon Ayuk, you're not getting a first round pick anymore because we have to pay them a lot of money, and that's included.
That's why T. Higgins is going to play in Cincinnati in 2024.
Exactly, because then the Bengals are
going to aren't going to give up T. Higgins for a 2025 third round pick.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs weren't going to pay him, like, so it's fine from their end. I get it. Titans feel like a weird team. I don't know how you feel, but like I felt like they were moving in a rebuild direction by getting rid of Mike Vrabel, and now they're paying Calvin Ridley and paying L'Jarius Sneed. Like,
I should think there might have been more, might have been something else there.
Yeah, right. And you're not going to the Super Bowl with Will Levis. I'm sorry.
You are not. You are not. All right. So, Randy gets it.
Randy on YouTube likes the Naked Gun movies.
All right. So, let's bring him on. He's the proprietor of Draft Countdown's favorite mock draft simulator and one of our daily bookmark go-tos, Mock Draft Database. Denny, welcome back to the show, man.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Well, man, we have to have you on here. We got to know what's going on in the mock drafting world. And you're our go-to guy for this.
Yeah, it's been as normally it is at this time of year. It's nonstop mocks. It's overload, which is fantastic.
You know, we heard your SOS call a few weeks ago. So next year, Draft Countdown is going mocks on Tuesday. We saw the distress signal go up, man. We're gonna take it off the plate.
I was just talking to a friend of mine, and I'm like, you know, every outlet thinks that, you know, Monday's the right day to send a mock. And then, you know, Thursdays and Fridays, there's like a handful to do. And so I'm like, all right, I'm like, why don't people spread this out? Let's do it. Not all mocks have to be on Monday, right? You kind of get buried in the SEO if you do it on a Monday. But yeah, you could spread it out, do it on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even the weekends. But although the weekends are not the greatest for traffic, but
Friday either. Friday's not.
Yeah. it's really a selfish reason. That's really, you know, why.
No, it makes sense, you know, and heck, we may even put them on Wednesdays next year just to coincide with the podcast and everything like that, and just double up on it. Well, we're going to talk about that, but definitely we're going off Monday next year for sure.
Awesome.
All right, so We'll start with the quarterbacks, right, Shane? And we know Caleb's one. We've locked that and we've chiseled that baby into the stone tablet. What are the trends telling us about 2, 3, 4, and even 5?
Yeah, I think the report about JJ at 2 is I don't know if it's a smokescreen or what with the Commanders' interest in JJ at 2, but it wouldn't shock me. Just because, like, I feel like the other three quarterbacks haven't really, you know, differentiated themselves. Like, there hasn't been that, like, well, Caleb's one and Drake May is two, and then there's everyone else, right? But really this year it's like Caleb's one, and then there's three guys there that can kind of almost be interchangeable in a way. You know, I think everyone's kind of slotted in Jaden Daniels at 2. At least that's kind of like the feel I'm getting. But I, and this is just a personal like feel or gut, but it wouldn't shock me if he's the one that drops if he doesn't go at 2, you know. No idea why. I just kind of get this feeling that if JJ goes 2 and Drake May goes 3, maybe the teams aren't going to trade up for Jaden Daniels, but they trade up for like a Drake May or they trade up for a JJ. But that's kind of like the feeling I'm at. And then you have Bo Nix and Penix, which are going to be. Is it Penix or Penix? What is it? Penix? Penix, right?
Penix, I believe it's Penix, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, those two, I could see teams overdrafting or, you know, even the opposite of pulling like a Malik Willis and just falling like crazy, right? One or the other could happen.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, you know, you've been doing this for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Have you seen a quarterback every year be mocked super high? And is it happening that they just drop? Like, there's someone, you know, is that a fear with JJ McCarthy? I guess we've had, you mentioned Malik Willis. I guess last year be Will Levis. Is that kind of been a consistent thing with mocks that, hey, it's the quarterback kind of the position that, hey, someone that gets mocked really high ends up not going quite that high?
I think the quarterback is just kind of like the obvious one, just because that's like the focus. Everyone pretty much focuses on the quarterback. It's like the rock star of the draft, right? I'm sure it happens at other positions. It's just more prevalent at quarterback, where it's like very obvious, like the guy's in the green room and he, you know, he's dropping like crazy. Levis was last year, and like I mentioned Malik Willis before. Yeah, there's. I feel like there's always like that one quarterback that kind of is over mocked, and then they end up falling because the NFL is just not as high as the, you know, draft Twitter is with that player.
Okay, I have to ask you about this because you have. I don't know how often you update this, mm-hmm. but tell the listeners about the infamous wide receiver five. Why it's a thing. And who is falling into that death trap this year?
Yep. Okay, so I was kind of it's just something I noticed when I was like doing my own fantasy drafts. So I did dynasty drafts, and I'm like, you know, like I think I had like the fifth or sixth pick. I'm like, okay, what wide receiver is going to drop to me? And I looked, and I'm like, okay, like this year it was, you know, it was for a while it was Keon Coleman, but he's kind of dropped further down. There was Brian Thomas for a little bit, then he climbed to four, and I think he's pretty solid at four now. So now it's Mitchell at Texas or Worthy at Texas. Those are like the two that are kind of right there at wide receiver five. And it's infamous because, and I say wide receiver five, but it's four wide receiver five on my site. So I don't know about anyone else's site. Everyone's got different rankings, but on my site, if the wide receiver is wide receiver five, they usually end up having a terrible career. And I'll give you a couple examples of some players. Okay, in 2018 it was James Washington, which, you know, it was okay, but like it wasn't like a superstar or anything. 2019 was Hakeem Butler, which was, you know, awful. 2020 Denzel Mims, pretty awful. 2021 Terrace Marshall Jr., who hasn't done anything. 2022 Treylon Burks, who everyone's trying to get rid of in dynasty. 2023 is Jalin Hyatt, who, you know, hasn't really done much. I don't know. We'll see. So this year, like I mentioned, it's the two Texas guys. So if I were in a dynasty draft and one of those two guys were up, I would seriously question it. Even just disregard all the stats you hear. It's like, well, he's not going to be a bust. He's fast, or he had a great career. It's like, listen, my wide receiver five is solid. It is a known thing. It is etched in stone, so you kind of got to take that, you know, with the back of your mind to question whether or not that player is going to actually succeed.
So, just to clarify, it's whoever finishes wide receiver five on your board, not necessarily who is the fifth wide receiver taken.
Correct. Yeah, it's not the fifth wide receiver drafted. It's the fifth wide receiver ranked on the big board.
So pour one out for Xavier Worthy or A.D. Mitchell at this point. We don't know yet.
Which wouldn't shock me because those two guys were the combine guys, right? Like they did really well. And so their stock was kind of overinflated because of their success at the combine. So that seems appropriate.
Yeah. And as a lot of the names that you mentioned in that wide receiver five was were combine guys, right? Yeah. Jalin Hyatt and All right, Denny, I have a bone to pick with you.
Okay.
So I did my mock, my 7-round mock 2 days ago, and my goal is I'm going to switch it up enough. Like, it's not going to be super out there, but like, I got to shed the safe tag on mock draft database, and I can't for the life of me shed the safe tag. And I go in and look at the mocks. You know, last year, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of safe mocks always, but like, mm-hmm. there are some that were on the other end. I forget what tag that you use. But this year is like none. Like it is like safe, you know, skip a couple. There's four in a row that are safe. Like, yeah, you have to explain how do you kind of come up with that? And cause sure. I gotta shed this before my final one where I actually try to predict what's going to happen.
Yeah. I'm actually curious to go back and look and see like, you know, at the end of the year, I grade all the mock drafts and I base them on accuracy. Right. I'm curious to see how many of the top 10 mocks of the year were safe mocks. You know, I would imagine that they're not. I would imagine that they're more on the bold side. Bold is like the opposite of safe that I use. And then there's the nothing tags, which basically is the in between. And so the way I do it is I believe it's based on, I don't remember off the top of my head because I wrote this like 4 years ago, but it's basically like X number of picks that are the common picks, like consensus picks. So if you have X amount that are the same, then you're going to be considered a safe mock. If you have crazy draft order where you're a bunch of trades everywhere and, you know, teams picking players that they don't normally pick, then you're going to get more of that bold tag. And the bold happens a lot more frequently during the season because everyone's got different draft orders that they use. But now that we're starting to get closer to the draft, like the orders have been kind of established, and you're going to see a lot more safe orders.
I got to page three. I finally found a bold with Brock Bowers going number two and Caleb Williams going number three. I'm like, I don't think I can go there.
Yeah, I think
that's what it takes, man. I mean, it's just not happening.
Just go wild. There's always one, you know, that mock draft that shows up like right close to the draft that just goes wild and just picks completely different than everyone else. So maybe this year you could do that, Shane. You could be the wild mock right before the draft. Just make sure before the draft you actually put the real mock draft.
The real one on there. Right? we got to do a fake one. Though I always like when you tweet out when someone has a player that's not even in the draft that they
or spelled wrong. Their name is just egregiously spelled wrong or something. It's awesome.
There's so many like just names that like so sometimes I'll see players that are either currently in the NFL and like you know when they're writing the mock draft they just have a brain fart and they think of like the first player that has a similar name and they think of some NFL player. There was one I didn't actually research it, but it was Graham Barton, and it was like I think it might have been his dad or something, because it was like an older player with the last name Barton, and he was also an offensive lineman. I'm like, I wonder if it's his dad. But so that was a funny one. But yeah, there's a lot of fun experiences when you add mocks.
So Shane, you'll have one more mock draft before the final. So we just got to go crazy on this one.
I'm putting my boy from SUNY Cortland in the first round. I better.
You know, there's a Jacob Infante. He every once in a while he'll add a mock, and he purposely adds like a player that isn't in the database as this like last pick in the draft. And I, like half the time it's like a college I don't even have. I'm like, oh, come on, man, I gotta add this college. so it's fun though. That's what helps me, you know, keep the database up to date and add these players that you know if they're not in the mock, then they won't be in the database, you know.
It's funny you say that because I'm at this point, I take pure glee at this point now going through these pro days and stuff. And because after a couple of seasons ago, Shane had a player, we had a player, you know, impact. That was Rashid Shaheed that Shane didn't watch. So now anybody that goes over 8 RAS, I add to our spreadsheet that we didn't have. So at this point now, like I said, it's just pure joy for me making Shane scramble trying to find SUNY Cortland film and everything else this late in the process.
No, I mean, that's good that you guys add that because I feel like your big boards are ones that like every time it updates, there's like 4 or 5 players that aren't in the database that I have to add. So it's always fun.
We got to keep everybody on their toes.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So tight end two has a bit become a bit contentious here. Like I said, Brock Bowers is tight end one by a wide margin.
Yep.
I've changed my tight end two. I've dropped Jatavion Sanders down. Ben Sennett from Kansas State's now my tight end two. Are you seeing some changes on these boards? And when is tight end two coming off the board?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like tight ends have kind of been stabilized for a while now, as far as like their ranking. You know, subtle fluctuations here and there, but it's pretty much been Bowers as the top one. Sanders from Texas is the two, and then Cade Stover has been three for a while too. But then there's kind of like the rest, and I think Jaheim Bell was high up at one point as well, and he's kind of falling down a little bit. It's been Bowers is pretty much like the alpha, and then JT Sanders at you know in the second round, and then a couple guys in the third, and the rest in like the fourth and fifth round.
Yeah, I want to ask about another position, kind of in a similar vein, but a little deeper, that I'm having trouble with the order of how I want to go, and that's cornerback, because, you know, Quinyon Mitchell, who I love from Toledo, you know, we've seen him mocked high, but then a lot of people saying, hey, Terrion Arnold from Alabama is definitely the number one guy, and you know, I even struggle on kind of the back end of round one. Is Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama still a first round pick? You know, is someone going to get in there that we don't expect? How are kind of the mock drafts looking on corner? What's that order looking like? Is there coming to a consensus, or is it all over the map?
Yeah, I mean, Quinyon and Terrion are pretty much 1A, 1B. They, depending on the day, they'll just flip-flop. So they're going to go kind of almost back-to-back in a way. And then you have Nate Wiggins at three right now. And then Cooper DeGene? Yeah. Which I always thought he was more of like a kick returner as more of a strength. But, you know, I'm not a scout, so I don't know.
It is now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It actually might get a boost now after the kickoff rule. But and then Kool-Aid is, you know, I feel like he was more in the top end, and then slowly since the season has ended to like now, he's been kind of falling a little bit. But he's still like that first round kind of cornerback. But after those five, it's kind of like, then there's a tier break. So it's not like someone that's going to come in and sneak into that first round group.
I wonder how much that's to do with is it a Jones fracture, Shane? Is that what it is with Kool-Aid? He's having, he had surgery like after his pro day the other day, where he ran, you know, well.
Yeah, I mean, they found it at the combine, right? So yeah, he didn't even know.
Didn't Wiggins got hurt too, right, at the combine?
Yeah, yeah, he pulled up. I don't think it was anything major, but
okay. Yeah. So everybody does the at least a one round mock. Not all of us are as wild and crazy and do seven round mocks every single time like Shane. I've at least done three round mocks my last two, so I've expanded a little bit, but you have a lot of team specific mock drafts. Like people just do the team. Like, who are the most popular teams that you get mocks submitted for?
Sure. A lot of Steelers, because I think there's like multiple Steelers based websites that just love doing mock drafts. So I just get a ton of Steeler mock drafts. I think a lot of Bears as well. I think I've noticed this, there's a lot of writers from Chicago. A lot of people that are, you know, born and raised here, but they write for the Eagles, some Eagles website, but they're Bears fans at heart. And so you get a lot of just Bears mock drafts as well. But, you know, I was actually curious. I was gonna do a query in my database to see how many who has the least amount of mock drafts? Which team has the least amount of mock drafts? If I had to guess, it's probably something like the Titans or the Texans or something like that. But yeah, the Steelers are probably number one.
So don't be surprised, because I just realized I haven't done it. So like tomorrow when I'm bored, I'm probably going to at you in like 17 mock drafts I forgot to do in the last week just to get those up. Because whenever you're looking, correct me if I'm wrong here, but like when you're looking at like a team on there, it'll like those team mocks are what kind of like makes up your little pie chart thing, right? Of who's off mocked to those guys, or is that from the seven or the full mocks?
That's from the full mocks, the first round mocks. Okay. Yeah.
So the team mocks don't really influence. Okay, I was just curious.
But, you know, I probably should add those, to be honest, though. You know, they have first round data, so why not?
Brian, why don't you wait to tag him till Monday? I heard that's the day that
you're right. I'm sorry.
wait until it gets closer to the draft when there's like 100 to do on Monday, you know?
You're right. Yeah. Good stuff.
So let's talk about the mock draft simulator a little bit. You know, I mean, that's what we've been, you know, we use on the site, and we do team mocks. We started doing some videos on YouTube, which this, you know, they've been doing pretty well. People enjoy, or honestly, people like to leave hate comments on those mostly. I saw you tweet today. You made some changes, made some updates. Let the people know what happened. And I don't think everyone knows that you have a mock draft simulator on Mock Draft Database.
Yeah.
Easy to use.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been getting a lot of messages that, you know, people want me to add like a player, being able to trade players. And I'm like, I wonder why. You know, you probably don't want to pay for that feature on a different one. But, I, you know, that's something that has been talked about potentially me doing a little difficult just because I have no NFL data, right? All my data is college. So in that process, I'd have to add players, give those players some kind of value, and keep the rosters updated, which isn't too difficult to do. I could do that. It's just a matter of, you know, doing it, getting some time. But today, you know, I've been getting a lot of messages of like, you know, unrealistic mocks, you know, this player fell or this player, the Bears would never take this player first overall. And I was like, oh, okay, I agree. I think this is a weird year because there's, you know, the top, you know, three teams all need a quarterback. And then right after that, the next three teams are going to, you know, all need a wide receiver. So there's not that good like balance of like, okay, well, this team's going to take a corner. This team's going to take an edge. This team's going to take a quarterback. So the similar kind of didn't know what to do. So it was too random in a sense. So I kind of just made it a little bit more rigid at the beginning of the first round, just kind of like get the stage set a little bit. And then after a while, you could start to get a little more random. But, you know, we pretty much know, or at least have a feeling of what these teams are going to do at the top. So I kind of just, you know, made it a little bit realistic, if you will.
Yeah, I know I did. I think my second Bengals mock that I did, Marvin Harrison Jr. was on the board at 18.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, you know what? And I'm good enough to know that that's not going to happen. So I just ignored it.
Yeah.
And just drafted who I was going to draft there anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not a lot of people are that dedicated, I guess, to the craft.
But it's good. I enjoy the feedback. You know, I'm a single person on this website, right? And so any feedback I get is helpful. So something's bad, something's broken, something's wrong, you know, just you more than welcome to tell me. I'm not gonna get offended. I don't care. I'll fix it and I'll make it exactly how you want it. Because at the end of the day, like, yeah, I built it, but the product's not for me. It's for everyone else. So I want to make it as good as possible for everyone.
You mentioned earlier that you score these mock drafts. So just so everybody listening to this show knows how great Draft Countdown is, how good does Draft Countdown score in these? And by Draft Countdown, I mean Shane, because I'm a terrible mock drafter.
All right, let's look. Let's see which mock draft, which of the 500 that Shane has done.
Yeah, right. What are your criteria kind of point wise? Because I know it differs, you know, from place to place on how it's graded, quote unquote.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I think it's, hold on, let me go find it. So basically it's very simple, my approach. Okay, here it is. So if you guess the correct team, like, so if you go slot by slot, right? You know, pick by pick. So if you pick the right team, you get 10 points. So you correctly chose that the Bears are going to go first. Great. If you pick the correct position in the first slot, you get another 10 points. So regardless of what team it is, if you said that the first pick is going to be a quarterback, you get 10 points. Then you guess the right player, which another 10 points, which kind of go in one hand in hand. And then if you guess the correct, you know, team pick or team position and player, you get 100 points, so bonus points. And I basically just kind of go like that a little bit. And I think there is some extra stuff. I don't know off the top of my head. And it just scores all 32 picks. And then at the end of the day, you get kind of like an accuracy score. And like last year, there was a mock that scored 29.57% correct. So, I don't know what Shane, I feel like yours, let's see.
Yeah, because I don't do trades, so I don't know how well, you know, if you feel like you have to hit some of those maybe to get the team in the right spot.
Sure. So, like, last year, you got 14.66%. So, you were 227th.
Okay. Which, you know, for the number of mocks you have in the database, I'll take it.
Exactly. I mean, it's so difficult. It's such a, like, almost like a game of chance, you know, at some point.
Tommy has called us psychos in the YouTube chat, and we're going to take that as a compliment. By God. Shane, do you have any other questions for Denny here?
I'll kind of finish up, I guess, just your general thoughts about, you know, about this draft, the mocks that are coming in you know, we talked before, like a lot of them are safe. I think a lot seem similar, especially at the top. Do you find that when that happens, you know, a month out like this, that that it ends up coming true? People are kind of getting a firm handle. This is going to be easier to predict draft. Or do you find when that happens, it's like, everyone's usually wrong, and that's the problem.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that, like, that little bit of chaos to happen. I feel like it's everything's just too quiet right now. Everything's too safe, stable. You know, people have already kind of figured out what's going to happen. I think the big thing is like, what are the Chargers going to do? What are the Cardinals going to do? Are the Cardinals going to trade out? Are the Chargers going to take a wide receiver? And those are kind of like the only two questions, really. You know, people kind of feel like Vikings are probably going to trade up. It's just a matter of like for who, to, you know, with who. You know, Falcons are probably going to take an edge. Bears are probably going to take a wide receiver or an edge at nine. So like it's kind of almost it feels boring right now. And so we're waiting for that trade to happen that kind of like spices things up. Or, you know, I think like in the past, there's been teams that have been high up that you're like, we still don't really know what they're going to do. And I feel like this is like you mentioned, this draft, we kind of all pretty much know what teams are going to do. You know, we don't know maybe necessarily what player, but we know like what position, right? We know the first three teams are going to go quarterback. And then potentially if all the teams stay, we know we're probably all going to go wide receiver. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting draft. I'm kind of hoping that it's more safe just because I think there's going to be a lot more accurate mock drafts and the it'll be better competition for the trophy of most accurate mock. Which by the way, I feel like I should actually make a trophy and send it out. But we'll see when the time comes.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Well, Diddy, man, we appreciate you coming on tonight. Yeah. And like I said, Shane said it, I think, a few days ago. If you aren't using the mock draft simulator at Mock Draft Database, you are doing it wrong.
Absolutely. Yep.
So tell everybody the website address there and how they can follow you.
Sure. So the website is NFLMockDraftDatabase.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at underscore mock drafts, and you'll find me in. And I'm Denny. I'm just a regular guy that loves mock drafts.
and we, like I said, we love the simulator. We love the site. I use it as I'm making mock drafts. I'm using it just to see kind of just to get a feel of what it's looking like. Mm-hmm. But man, thanks again for coming on. We love having you on this time of year just to kind of get a feel for where the consensus is at. Awesome. Try to give us a better idea, and we look forward to having you on about this time again next year.
Cool. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks, man. All
right. That was Denny from mockdraftdatabase.com. Everybody go there, play around with that simulator, and do it up, man. As I said, we use it for all of ours, for our 90% of ours anyway. So that is the wrong overlay.
That's fine.
There we go.
Look, I'll take. I got 227th out of 1,381. I think I'll take the top.
That's 80, pretty high. That's 80%, top 20%.
Right? 20%. Yeah, that's pretty good. I'll take it. And last year wasn't a great year for me, so that's good.
No, I don't even want to know where I was at on there. I
like it, it's and the thing is every contest scores it differently. You know, I think you and I definitely model ours to the Huddle Report contest. So,
and make no mistake about it, the Huddle Report is considered the gold standard of mock draft scoring. But Denny seems to be much more wild and variant, and I kind of like that too. So, it's good to know that
our boy Brad got 53rd last year for Draft Countdown.
Awesome.
Look at that. So
hey. Draft Countdown is the place to be for mock drafts, folks. That's what that told you. So, and this year we're going to take four cracks at the apple there.
Yeah. With
Brad, myself, you, and Paul. Oh, yeah. We're cornering the market on mock drafting.
Make it happen.
All right. So that was good stuff. Final thing before we get to questions here, Shane, I saw something that piqued my interest. I wanted to get your take on it. PFF put out a little graphic the other day, and it said the last 10 NFL drafts, this going back 2014, I guess it coincided with Aaron Donald's retirement. The first defensive tackle selected in the last 10 drafts. Tell me when you hear a bad player. 2014 was Aaron Donald. 2015 was Leonard Williams. 2016, DeForest Buckner. 2017, Jonathan Allen. 2018, Vita Vea. Yep. 2019, Quinnen Williams. Yep. 2020, Derek Grant. Christian Barmore. 2022, Jordan Davis. And 2023, Jalen Carter.
Wow. That's a powerful group. I mean, even Christian Barmore, I think he wasn't even a first-round pick.
He was a second. He was very high in the second round.
He broke out last year. So, I mean, that is quite a group.
I mean, Jordan Davis at this point is the only one that hasn't had a breakout. And, you know, you kind of expect that this year because, you know, he's freed now because the Eagles have – the guys in front of him are now gone. So –
Byron Murphy is gonna be in good shape.
He's guaranteed, right? At this point. I mean, it's kind of like whoever's wide receiver 5 on Denny's list is gonna suck.
It's just, hopefully it's Adonai Mitchell. Not Xavier Worthy, so we'll see.
Yeah. You must have a lot of Xavier Worthy shares in the old
I have a couple. I mean, I have him actually above Brian Thomas in my rankings. I think Worthy is going to be good. You know, he won't be Hall of Fame, you know, but I think he can be. I think he's going to be good. I think Adonai Mitchell's overrated. So I'm pulling for myself to be right and that to work itself out.
Well, there you go. It wouldn't be the first time one of us on this show has selfishly pulled for something we do to be right.
No, we do that in plenty, right?
All right, so. We got plenty of Twitter questions. Something I can construe as a question in the chat, but let's get some Twitter questions. At Jeff Hazley sent you a question the other day that you wanted to elaborate on more in the show. He said, at Shane P. Hallam, last year you said Rashee Rice was one of the most intelligent, cerebral receivers in the 23 class, and he had a very respectable rookie year. Who in this year's class occupies that spot?
And I hate to be, I guess, redundant, but I think this often happens. So the player that I think it has kind of that cerebral ability to understand the defense, understand spacing, and this player, more than Rashee Rice, especially after the catch, is Malachi Corley, the receiver from Western Kentucky. And I think it often happens that top kind of G5 player is a really good football player, right? To be productive, as productive as Rashee Rice was and Malachi Corley were. Malachi Corley basically played in two different offenses the last 2 years, excelled in both of them. And you watch him go up against the Ohio States and Denzel Burke, maybe a future first-round pick, and just manipulate the hell out of him down the field, right? I mean, the way that Corley knows how to use his feet and his body and his head to move and manipulate the corner, I think it's exceptional. And then after the catch, and they use Corley a lot of screen passes and slants, short things. I mean, you know, he really understands how to set up the second level. It's kind of the old running back adage of like, I'm not looking at the guys on the line. I'm looking at the second level to know what I need to do. I think Corley does that well. So I think he's going to have success. And once again, may not be Hall of Fame, you know, all pro success, but like Rice, I think Corley's going to find a role just because that translates to the NFL, no matter where you went to college.
And with Malachi Corley, the Deebo Samuel comp gets thrown out there a lot, and it's accurate to me, just the way he's built. I mean, his lower half, his leg, his quads are huge. Saw them at senior bowl practice. You're like, Jesus, this guy's just humongous thighs. And you get that moving as fast. What did you time unofficially at the pro day the other day? It was like 4.3 something.
Yeah.
4.4. I mean, running that fast after the catch, like I said, as strong as he is, he's like a running back playing wide receiver. It's fun, and I want to see how high he goes. Like I said, I know the Bengals would be interested in the at their third round pick. I don't know that he's going to be on the board there. So
I think the Steelers are interested in that second round pick. They were at the pro day. They sent the GM and head coach and everyone. So that's usually a good sign.
Yep. Tommy had a couple of questions, or at least one's a question. One might not be, but who was the last Texas wide receiver to make his mark in the NFL? Was it Limus Sweed?
I'm not sure Limus Sweed would qualify as making his mark in the NFL.
Roy Williams?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he I think you'd have to go that far back. I think Roy Williams, and he was right, a top 10 pick. He went pretty high in the NFL draft. I was in high school, I think. And he even was kind of more bust than success. I'm not sure I don't know. There's been a couple guys that have done a little bit. Jordan Shipley had a cup of coffee with having some production. Marquise Goodwin, has stuck around.
Devin Duvernay's been solid, right?
Stuck around. He's stuck around at least,
Maybe solid was too strong.
But here, it's exactly why you don't scout the helmet, right? People did this last year with the Ohio State quarterbacks, and, there's never been one, so don't draft C.J. Stroud. This is a very different offense than Texas has ever run in their life. And, like I said, I don't like Adonai Mitchell that much. I think he's overrated. I think Xavier Worthy's going to be really good. Texas is going to – one of these two receivers is going to be really good, if not both.
Tommy's other question, and Tommy's a Steelers homer – just like you are there, Shane.
I love the homer. Come on.
But what player scares in this draft the opposition the most, like a Greg Lloyd or a James Harrison? Who's that guy?
That's a fun question. I mean, are we just talking linebacker or just defense in general?
I mean, it has to be a defensive player, right?
Right. I mean, because I even think like Leitu Latu is that player. I think he is so scary to block because of how good Latu's cross chop is and pass rush moves are. You saw offenses when he started to dominate just completely shift. We don't want to mess with this guy. If it's linebacker, I'd probably say Peyton Wilson's probably that player. I mean, just with his success,
I can make an argument for Braden Fisk.
Yeah, I think that's a good one, too, from the D-line from Florida State.
Yeah. And Jared Verse, too, for that matter, because that dude just straight bowling people over is scary. That's kind of scary, right? So, yeah. Randy got a question here, and he asked me, what are the chances T. Higgins actually shows up and plays under the tag without a long-term contract? 100%. T. Higgins has been playing on a second-round contract for, 4 years now, which has paid him, Shane, about $5, $6 million?
Yeah.
Is he going to turn down $21 million guaranteed? Negative. He's playing.
Yeah. No, I know. He's playing for sure.
Andrew Diatavi said he got owned by any decent tackle he faced. I'm not sure who he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm not sure which he's talking about to reverse.
I'm not sure. If he's talking about Latu, he's wrong. let's go to Twitter. We had a couple of questions here. Brian Zukowski at Blows 420 has asked, how many potential plug-and-play left tackles are there in this draft? Where do you see the cutoff happening early second round?
So I think the tough part about this question is
left tackle.
Who's a left tackle, right? Because do you take an Amarius Mims or J.C. Latham? They count as a left tackle. They didn't play left tackle. Could they play left tackle? Yes. I think would I consider them plug and play? I guess probably not. I would say you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think it's probably 5. Guys that I feel comfortable with, plug and play, left tackle.
Alt Fashanu Fatanu.
I think Jordan Morgan I feel comfortable with, and I probably Patrick Paul I feel comfortable with plugging in. Early second round
is the cutoff. Then if you're talking Morgan, Patrick Paul,
We're talking 40, 45 worst case. I mean, it's going to be top 50. They'll all be gone.
He was indeed talking about Latu. So I'm going to agree to disagree on that he was owned by any decent tackle. He does mention Jordan Morgan was successful against him.
Yeah, I mean, Latu had, I think, a sack and two tackles for loss against Jordan Morgan. So I think he did. He did okay.
Yep. Okay. So last question here at Gav_Leaf ask, this is more of a statement, I guess. Man, it would be a real shame if one team managed to pick up a rugby talent that played internationally in a position that fielded and returned kicks and punts. He's speaking, of course, about the Kansas City Chiefs signing. What was his name?
I was waiting for you to say it. I was excited.
Damn it, Shane.
Louis Rees-Zimmet.
Yeah. One of the top, apparently one of the top rugby players in the world, for those of you who keep up with that sort of stuff.
The film is fun. I mean, I don't know if you watched any of them.
I did. He is signed with the Kansas City Chiefs today. He is part of the NFL's International Player Participation Program. I think that's what the IPP stands for. If not, that's what I'm calling it. And which means that even if he's not on their active 53-man roster and on their practice squad, that anybody who signs one of the 16 players on that in that program gains basically an extra practice squad spot. So even if he's not on their roster, he'll be on their he'll be practicing there every week. I'm not sure what his deal is beyond this year, but I imagine it's not for a whole lot of money. But you know, if he goes out there and does play, like I said, maybe in the preseason with these new kickoff rules, he's just housing, you know, half these kick returns or whatever, then I'm guessing he'll be on the 53 and he'll be getting that contract pretty substantial, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's perfect for that type of role. I hope we get to see him in the preseason at least return a couple of these kicks, and it might be really cool.
I mean, the last rugby player that came into the league was Jordan Mailata, right? And that's kind of worked out in a different way. But, yeah, I mean, he got the big extension with the Eagles after being a seventh-round pick. So, this is a little different, not draft eligible. We thought he was draft eligible, but apparently not. So, but he ran in the 4.4s at whatever pro day he ran. So, got that going for him. Last question, unless another one pops in here. Pierce Convoy asking the YouTube chat, you guys cover the Giants moving up to 4 if they wanted QB4. I guess he's saying, do you think the Giants come up from 6 to 4? I think it would be to 3 if they came up. It would be to get that third quarterback, probably maybe like Drake May, or if it was going to be one of them, right?
I still stand by the quarterback's not going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, I tweeted, we haven't had 4 quarterbacks go in the top 9 of the NFL draft in the modern era. Has never happened. Maybe it happens this year, but I don't expect it to be the top 4 picks or quarterbacks. Like, I still think it's J.J. McCarthy isn't going as high as people think he's going. Like, if the Giants want him, they can get him at 6. I think it's a possibility that he falls into the double digits and, you know, that the Vikings or Broncos can get McCarthy there. And until we get to that final mock draft, I'm probably going to stick with it and we'll see.
I wonder if like he fell to like 8 or whatever, if they would feel more, Minnesota would feel more, or even Denver would feel more emboldened to come up a little bit, or Tennessee at 7, you know, where the price isn't near as high, you know,
I mean, at that point, if he's falling to 8, I don't think anyone's moving up to Dake, right? You know, like, he's probably falling to 11. And I said it when the Vikings traded for 23, and I did it in my mock draft. I had them passing on McCarthy at 11. Like, there's a possibility 23 is where they want to take the quarterback. They want Bo Nix. You know, that's a possibility, too.
I'm still betting the I have, like I said, there the we won't get these props until we get closer to the draft, but I'm still leaning if they're going to set the over under at 4.5 quarterbacks in round one, and I'm inclined to bet the under if that's the case.
Yeah, I probably would too, because I think we always pump up a little extra.
I mean, McCarthy's going to go in the first round,
right?
Absolutely. Whether I like it or not, that's going to happen. But I don't know if we get Nix or Penix in the first round,
right? So I think if the Vikings are going to trade up, we're going to find out before the draft, and maybe the Giants too, right? If someone's moving up for a quarterback to 3 or 4, you might as well do it now.
Yep. Yep. Because I mean, you know what's happening at 1 and 2, right?
Right.
I guess the only question is Washington, which Washington's already got so much draft capital. I just don't know that they're gonna move off too.
No, I don't think they are at all. They're definitely gonna take a quarterback in 2.
Yep. All right. That's gonna do it for tonight's edition of the Draft Countdown podcast. Thanks everybody for your question. Thanks Denny from Mock Draft Database for coming on. Good show tonight. Final thoughts, Shane, on this week's show and your 7-round mock draft that you put out on Monday.
I thought it came out well. I tried a couple different things, especially in the first round. Definitely, you know, take a look at Draft Countdown, go to Mock Draft, check out my mock and see what you think. You know, I want to get feedback from some of the teams. There's definitely some team needs that people have communicated with me. And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes more sense. I'll kind of adjust as we move forward. This is my first time kind of mapping out the team needs since we're kind of after free agency here and really trying to figure that piece of this out.
Yep. So, So that's going to do it. As always, follow me on Twitter at Deep Fried Draft. Follow Shane on Twitter at Shane P. Hellum. Follow Draft Countdown on Twitter at Draft Countdown. And go to draftcountdown.com for all of your NFL draft needs. For Shane, I'm Brian. Good night, everybody.